Okay, hello everybody. We're beginning with the Blessed One's webinar commentaries, number 7. We're in Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2, page 37. Okay. And we have completed rays 1 through 4. Always dealing, or usually, with the involutionary aspect of the ray, and then a reversal, the return of the prodigal son. This can be applied, I believe we're dealing with monadic rays. This can be applied, however, to the soul ray, but in a way the descent of the soul into incarnation is really the descent of the monad. It's always the monad's being and consciousness. Even when we're a personality, it is the monad having experience within the three lower worlds. There, the essential unit of consciousness is the projection of the monad. So what I will do now is to read this and then undergo or submit this to the analysis. So ray 5, presumably the ray 5 monad, no matter what type of soul ray it may be working through. The Blessed One came forth in ignorance. He wandered in a darkness deep of spirit. He saw no reason for this way of life. He sought among the many threads that weave the outer garment of the Lord, and found the many ways there be, leading to the center of the web eternal. The forms that weave that web hide the divine reality. He lost himself. Fear entered in. He asked himself, another pattern must be woven, another garment formed. What shall I do? Shew me another way to weave. The word for him came forth in triple form. His mind responded to the vision clear evoked. The truth lies hidden in the unknown way. The angel of the presence guards that way. The mind reveals the angel and the door. Stand in that presence. Lift up thine eyes. Enter through that golden door. Thus will the angel, who is the shadow of the Blessed One, reveal the open door. That angel too must disappear. The Blessed One remains and passes through that door into the light sublime. Well, this is a very deep and, I think, revealing stanza. The Blessed One again, let us say, the monad as the soul in incarnation in the lower worlds came forth in ignorance. This is probably very different from that which the fifth ray soul, fifth ray soul, let's say the fifth ray monad, has on its own high plane of expression. Because ignorance is the very antithesis of that which is the possession of this type of monad in all the past experience it has had. The accumulation of knowledge is exactly what it has. And it is, in a way, a representative of the Ray Lord with the highest luminosity, the most brilliant of the Ray Lords at this time, and maybe, in a sense, paralleling the advancement of Venus, the most advanced in its unfoldment. But this coming forth, and let's call it this, into the five worlds of human and superhuman evolution. So surrounded by the lower energies and the five worlds of human and superhuman evolution, the result is confinement, ignorance, not knowing the way out, inability to sense the great, high monadic light from which this emanation of the monad came forth. The prodigal son really is an emanation of the monad, or we consider it the monad in incarnation. So let's say that. The prodigal son is the monad in extension. Let's see, how do we do this? Monad in incarnation. So he wandered in a darkness deep of spirit. This is interesting, spirit. He knew not where he was going. No sense of direction. Let's say that wandering is devoid of a sense of direction. Here and there. And the darkness deep of spirit is interesting because the monad is spirit. And this means that he, as a spirit, is in an unaccustomed darkness. In the higher worlds, there is a great revelation. Extraordinary, extensive monadic awareness. But in this monadic extension, deep into the dense physical body of the planetary and solar logos, all of that that was before is darkened. And around him, let's say he is unaware of the spirit that he is. So he is unaware of the spirit which he essentially is. All his consciousness is extroverted and looks out uncomprehendingly upon the elemental worlds, the veiling worlds, the worlds in the dense physical body of the solar logos and planetary logos. Even the causal body we know is in the dense physical body of the solar logos. Now, he is a reasonable and reasoning being. Okay, so now comes the reorientation. He wandered in the darkness deep of spirit. So he is frustrated by the fact that he cannot make the connections with what he sees. If he saw a reason, then that which is around him would, as they say in the fifth ray language, make sense. It shows how closely related the fifth ray is to the world of sensory perception. But there does not seem to be a rational, predictable, understandable connection between things. In other words, he views the chaos. And does not see understandable relations between things, or between percepts which are revealed in the world of the senses. So he's searching something in him. Demands that he find the, as it were, the reason of it all, or the reason for it all. He wants to make causal connections. He proceeds to determine causes of effects. We know that the cause and effect paradigm is very strong in the fifth ray type. And so that a thing is may be registered, but why is it? Why are conditions as they are? He needs to know. He needs to know the antecedents of present conditions. So he is now searching, and he has a mind within him to search, and attempting to make sense of it all. So he sought among the many, many threads that weave the outer garment of the Lord. So he looked, his search takes him to the garment of God, to the garment of God, strongly featured in the fifth ray integration formula. He does not know how to look within. He's still very much in the world of ignorance, of course, and the hall of ignorance. Even as he begins to seek, he is still in the hall of ignorance. It takes a while to get out of that hall, millions of years, in fact, before we begin to realize there is a world within, as well as that which the senses present. And the senses, of course, can present on the astral plane and the mental plane too, but first we're talking about the dense physical plane, with which the fifth ray type has a strong connection. So much of science today works with matter as we find it on the densest level of the systemic etheric plane, solid, liquid, and gas. And now, increasingly, as the true occultism of the fifth ray increases into the world of the ethers, that's the next subplane to master, and it's happening within the field of particle physics, advanced physics, and also in the field of medicine, energy medicine. So he needs to find his way out. Let's just say he is lost. And there is reason and reasoning within himself innately. And this he exercises in his search. So he sought among the many threads that weave the outer garment of the Lord. What are these threads? These are the different energies and forces. The threads are the different energies and forces which in combination, which means which woven together or brought into relationship form the appearance of things. The appearance of things. And the senses reveal the appearance of things, and especially the senses on the outer plane, where he probably finds himself before he realizes, or finds how very lost he is, and found the many ways there be leading to the center of the web eternal. Well, we are not necessarily speaking here of the ethers. The ethers can be involved later, but not at first. The fifth ray types are just now finding themselves into the ethers. Maybe in the Atlantean days, those who could really think, the most advanced, found their way into the ethers, and in Lemurian days they worked with the ethers, but rather unconsciously. Now, in a more cognitive sense, we're understanding from the scientific perspective what the ethers may be. They were dismissed from science over 100 years ago as unnecessary, but now I think there's a reapproach to the possibility that they exist, especially among the more advanced thinkers. So there are many ways, many threads that can be followed to the central cause. He is seeking a cause for it all and can proceed by following causally many effects. He's looking for, you know, all right, what is the cause of this effect? All right, what is the cause of that cause? And what is the cause of that cause of that cause? And so forth. And he goes backwards, looking for the cause of it all. What brought this about? Say, what really brought about the appearance of things as they are? The as they are has to do with the inner planes. The appearance has to do with the testimony of the senses. But he cannot find the cause. In deep despair, he cried aloud unto the God he had forgot, "Give me the key. I alone can do no more good. Give me the key." And then silence reigned. And then the key is dropped from the blue of heaven, and the key is the cause, that which is responsible for bringing about any particular condition. So if you set up the right preconditions, you will arrive at the conditions you seek. But we're looking for the proper preconditions. We go farther and farther back, and eventually we just cannot find, by that method, that which is behind the many combinations of energy threads which have been experienced. The forms that weave that web hide the divine reality. So there are many combinations of threads. Combinations of threads are called forms. And many are the forms encountered in the garment of God. But what causes the weaving, and what brings the energy threads together to form the forms, this he cannot penetrate. As it is said in the fifth ray integration formula, let's go there just for fun. Piece by piece. Let's see. Are we in the right place? No, we're not in the right place. We have to go to number too. He took that garment piece by piece. Okay. So he... Here he is. I stand amazed, I see naught else. I penetrate the mysteries of form, but not the mystery. We're going to get into these and look at them as they are so important in the life of the developing disciple. Bewildered by the trees in the forest, unable to see the forest. Bewildered by the mysteries of form and unable to see the mystery that lies, the causative mystery that lies behind form. So we say, unable to see the causative mystery which lies behind the forms. So there's such complexity that it becomes impossible to trace the cause using his very concrete-minded approach at first. Of course, later, naturally, there is a higher aspect to the fifth ray, and it will have to do with a very high type of mind, higher mind, and even the kind of mind found on the atmic plane as counting up from below. We can relate the fifth ray to that mind as well, and to the representation of the universal mind on the cosmic physical plane. The universal mind doesn't really come, isn't really found on the cosmic physical plane, but there will always be reflections of it. And whatever resonates to the number five or to the number three will demonstrate itself as a reflection of the universal mind. Think of the atmic plane, it's three from above, five from below. Think of the mental plane, it's three from below, five from above. So he lost his way, he lost himself. Well, his self is lost from the first. He does not realize what he is. He does not realize in his darkness deep of spirit that he actually is the monad who has come forth into the five worlds of human and superhuman evolution. He has an extroverted consciousness and cannot find his own source. And when this type is lost, fear enters in. Of course, maybe being lost induces fear in everybody, perhaps. May induce fear in all. It certainly does for the sixth ray type, you know. There's all this story about the lost and the found, and he who is lost is found. The idea of the prodigal son, he who is lost to me is now found. So there's the return to the spiritual home. Maybe particularly the concrete rays, working more in denser matter and in the dense physical body of the solar and planetary logos, find it easier to be somehow lost. They awaken within the maze and they don't really know the way out. Notice that the term weave, which is usually a third ray term, is found here. So we don't know how the forms came to be. What are the rules by which the many energy threads, weave the form? This is unrevealed, and therefore, confronted with form, he can go no farther. He does not yet have those analytical powers which can take everything apart the way the modern physicist can, and perhaps and trace the forms to their energetic causes. So now we have a monad which is used to monadic brilliance on the higher planes, lost in the lower worlds of form. We can say Bewildered. Okay. Bewildered within the garment of God. And this kind of fear enters. There's all different kinds of fears, and they are particular to the rays, but fear of ignorance is the type of fear most related to the fifth ray types. By types, of course, one can mean monadic soul, personal types. They are all, the lower ones are reflections of the higher ones, and really all we ever have is the monad. And if the fifth ray monad exists, we will realize it's not going to be the major monadic ray, because always major rays have to be one, two, or three. Every septenate has to resolve into a triplicate. And the triplicate resolves into a duad. You kind of see that when you go to page 518 of Dina 2 and you see three different kinds of second ray souls, but you start with only two kinds. You start with the wisdom type and the love type. But the love type splits into the pure love type and the type which is known for its work with specialized detail. This is the occultist. So out of the two, the three have come, but the two will also have to resolve into a one. They will have to become a unity, and the one will have to resolve into a zero. It is a very rational mental formulation to speak in that way, from 7 to 3 to 2 to 1 to 0, but obviously we want to be in the position to experience the energetic implications of that type of recession. So he asked himself, another pattern must be woven, another garment formed. What shall I do? Shew me another way to weave. So notice again the third ray imagery. There's a lot of a crossover here between these two rays. I've mentioned the conclusion of the introduction to the seven rays in their human context around page 210 of Esoteric Psychology 1. Around 210. Let's see where it is exactly. It's a little bit later. It's more like 211 or 212. Yeah, 211, 212. Between the third and fifth rays, there is a close relationship. In the search after knowledge, for example, the most laborious and minute study of detail is the path that will be followed, whether in philosophy, the higher mathematics, or in the pursuit of practical science. So different third and fifth ray fields are mentioned, but the common denominator here is the most laborious. And whoop, I didn't want that. All right. Well, we'll do it that way. Okay. So, why must another pattern be woven? So this pattern makes no sense. And something must be brought together which reflects the higher worlds which he begins to sense. Another garment of the, what shall I do? Show me another way to weave. Now, of course, he is a constructive and a practical type and can work in the field of matter. We might say here that this can mean show me another way to perceive. We cannot re-weave the garment of God, the garment of the Lord. It is woven. But perhaps we can reweave our perceptive mechanism and weave a new type of mind which can perceive the pattern inherent in the otherwise bewildering garment of God. Perhaps we can do that. Another pattern must be woven. It's not that God the planetary logos is going to weave again another pattern, but it's almost like another pattern of perception, another garment seen. So a new type of seeing is required. Which will, as it were, make sense of the bewildering garment of God. And, show me how I can bring my mechanism into the condition that will allow me to understand. Show me how to bring my mechanism and also my constructions within the world of illusion into such a condition that the truth can be perceived. And we do understand that this type creates the mechanisms which greatly expand perception and understanding. I mean, think about the tools, the instruments of science that have expanded our ability to perceive, the extension of the senses through the telescope or through the microscope, through all that reveals the macro world and the micro world. That is, in a sense, forming new combinations, another garment, and forming new patterns which will reveal what ignorance, that of which ignorance prevents perception. So another garment must be formed. New constructions, new mechanisms, which will defeat ignorance and will reveal the true pattern of things. So we're not going to, as I say, reweave the garment of God, but we are going to try to change our own structure and change the world around us in such a way that the mystery behind the mysteries can be revealed. So already, the reorientation has taken place. We're no longer on the involutionary arc. We have no longer come forth from the monadic plane, we can say. The Blessed One came forth from the monadic plane into the five worlds of human and superhuman evolution. The descent into the center of the causal body, whichever comes first, it may be that the descent of the monad into the higher mental plane actually does come forth. It takes the central fire takes its position from what we can understand in a, quote, location, which is between the highest subplane of the higher mental plane and the lowest subplane of the buddhic plane. And that in itself is mysterious when you consider that the causal body, even of the initiate, is only on the second subplane of the mental plane. So how can an aspect of it be on a still higher subplane? Well, maybe the jewel in the lotus is not the central fire is not really a part of the causal body. Maybe it is its own structure. Spirit. Monad is spirit. Okay. All right, so now he's reoriented. Let's see what happens. His search is futile. That we have learned. His search for understanding and causes becomes futile. And he experiences a great frustration and an exhaustion of his powers of mind to find the way out. Now something will happen as a result of his search. Fear may have entered in, but now he consults within himself. So this is a turning inward for a normally extroverted type of consciousness. And something within him knows. He asks himself, maybe he is appealing to something within which he just begins to sense or touch. He is speaking to another. Otherwise he wouldn't say, you know, show me. He wouldn't say that. So he finds something in his subjective life. He finds the sense that there is a higher of the pairs of opposites, and that there is something within him capable of showing him what to do. So he senses, I'm not sure that's the best word, that there is something within himself which can show him another way, something more knowledgeable. Something more knowledgeable. Something more knowledgeable within himself. So he is making an appeal, you know, just like the fifth-ray type who had forgotten his God and suddenly appeals to his God. I alone can do no more good. Give me the key. He's speaking to someone other. Other and within. And then what happens? So as a result of his invocation, because his desperation is an invocation, and there will always be an answer from that which is above and within. So the word comes forth for him in triple form. Well, one is reminded here of a word of power for the fifth ray. The word of power of the fifth ray is three minds unite. So each, the word of the soul, or the word of the higher ego, or the word of his essential nature, is a threefold word, comes forth through each of the three aspects of mind. And what shall they be? Perhaps a concrete mind, son of mind, and abstract mind. Of course, we also have, you know, the intuitional mind and the reflection of the universal mind, we might call nirvanic mind. Five minds there can be. So he hears a triple sound, a triple word, a triple indication, and his mind, which has always been good, responds to a vision clear. In other words, the returning triple word creates evokes a vision in his psyche, in his mind, imagination. So the triple word comes forth, and all levels of the mind, which he usually uses, from concrete to soul mind to abstract, or maybe another way of looking at it is from the concrete mind to the abstract mind to the that part of him which reflects the universal mind. There are really five we have to deal with, but there's a lower, middle, and higher. So his mind responded. A vision appeared. And what is this vision of? Probably it's going to be of the angel and all the possibilities. His mind responded to the vision clear evoked, and he hears these words. The truth lies hidden in the unknown way. Not an unknown way, but the unknown way, and it's way with a capital. This is going to lead beyond the egoic lotus. This will lead into the spiritual triad via the Antikarana and toward the monad. This will lead into the cosmic ethers and to the monad. And it is now unknown by the mind, or by the blessed one, who is not yet a self-realized blessed one. He knows only the lower worlds, and he, well, really only the 18 lower subplanes. Maybe he can begin to know something about the higher three subplanes where the angel is found. Now, just what that angel means, we have to understand. So this is the way to the monad. The unknown way is the way to the monad. The way into the true presence, which is the monad. The angel of the presence guards that way. It's almost like to say, this can be the structure of the egoic lotus pervaded by the solar angel. This is interesting and important. Now, we know that the solar angel can act as the angel with the flaming sword and prevent the returning consciousness from entering the garden, the higher correspondence of the Garden of Eden, monadic life, unitive life, synthesized life. But in a way, the man's own egoic nature, substanded by that fragment of the angel which invests itself in the ego, that has to be penetrated. That's the golden door. And if we don't go through the gold, if we don't go through the sun, we cannot experience the midnight of the spirit. So if we do not venture through the sun of gold, we cannot enter the presence. Well, let's call it this way. The midnight of the presence. We recall how beyond the sun is the realm of the midnight blue, with the pinpoints of intuition, the stars dotting the midnight blue firmament. So the angel of the presence guards that way in all of us. It's a bit like a higher correspondence to the etheric web, especially in the region of the head, you know, which has to be penetrated in order to experience the higher planes. The mind, however, which is now acute, reveals the angel and the door. We might say the angel. In other words, the soul nature is revealed. The egoic lotus is seen, and the solar angel, which infuses the lotus with a fragment of itself, is revealed. One knows that the angel is there at initiation. And do we ever see the solar angel exactly as it is? This is a point for discussion. Sometimes that angel will appear as a wheel with nine spokes, sometimes as a lotus. Those are forms. And sometimes as an angelic presence itself, which seems closer to its true nature. The other two are the forms which are created when the extension of the angel pervades the matter of the higher mental plane and creates the form of the lotus. So the acute mind, the sharp mind, penetrates into the higher world. Okay, the sharpened mind penetrates into the higher worlds. So there are really two kinds of angels here. Two kinds of angels. One would be considered the solar angel, which is the returning Nirvani from a previous Mahamanvantara and is a great being suffused by Buddhi and working in the cosmic physical plane after having been trained on the cosmic astral plane and so forth. The other is the structure, the angelic structure within man. So one of these is the solar angel, and the other is the angelic structure which has become one of man's vehicles, a periodical vehicle, and is supported by the solar angel. So the angel of the presence, to me, angel of the presence seems a congery of energies more closely related to the human monad than does the solar angel. And this, of course, you know, requires discrimination, and there will be debate upon this. But I have a reason for saying this. The mind reveals the angel and the door. So what we mean is the angel of the presence and the way through that angelic structure into the presence. We're told we need to go through the door to stand in the presence of the monad. We need to go through the door to stand in the presence of the monad. Of the monad, which is the presence in this case. So we can't, unless we can go through the golden door, which is the way of somehow penetrating beyond the causal body, stand in the presence. If we penetrate in consciousness beyond the causal body, we can stand in the presence, but not otherwise. So there has to be a way of penetrating the disk of golden light. I wonder if I can look that up, the disk of golden light. It might be here. D-I-S-C. Well, I'll do it this way. Disk golden. D-I-S-C. Disk golden light. Let's see if there is such a thing here. Band of golden light, etc. The blue disk. Okay. So there's one out of four. Here we are. Unveil to me the face of the true spiritual sun. It's the Gayatri, hidden by a disk of golden light, that we may know the truth and do our whole duty as we journey to thy sacred feet. This is Ray's initiation 756. Okay. Is pierced. The true sun is seen, and the path found, and the aspirant struggles forward in ever clearer light. The awareness of that source of spiritual energy, which is the motivating impulse behind the lower manifestation. So here's what we need. We need this from TWM 59. All right, we'll do it this way. So this is from TWM 59, is that correct? And 60. And also, we need that which came a little before. Hidden by disk, the disk of golden light is pierced, the true sun is seen. Okay, that's what we had, that was one. And here's the Gayatri on Ray's Initiations, page 756. This is an important point. R-A, R-I, okay, R-I, 756. So we'll make this smaller, as usual, so that we can realize that it is imported text. There is a piercing of the disk. The golden door is the disk of golden light. Enter through that golden door. This is the disk of golden light. Disk of golden light is pierced in white magic. And this is, again, the disk of golden light. So something, the angel of the presence is pretty well the disk of golden light. But it wouldn't exist without the substanding of the solar angel. So the angel of the presence is pretty well the disk of golden light. It is the angel within man, the angel within man's higher structure. And very interestingly, it will disappear at what we realize that this angel of the presence will disappear when the solar angel returns. So the substanding, the support, the investing of consciousness and presence by the solar angel in that structure we call the egoic lotus creates the angel of the presence. And unless we can go through the golden door by piercing the disk of golden light, we cannot stand in the presence. So first we must stand, we must enter through the golden door. We must lift up thine eyes to higher possibilities, to transcendental possibilities, to spirit rather than soul. Lift up thine eyes and anticipate. Or, yes, anticipate what lies beyond the golden door. So imagine that and go beyond soul, enter through that golden door into the presence. So leave duality behind and enter the world of synthesis and unity, or unity and synthesis. There's something, you know, which in terms of cause and effect seems a little out of order here. The mind reveals the angel and the door. Stand in that presence, but you can only do that when you've entered through the golden door. So it's almost as if it should be, enter through that golden door, lift up thine eyes, stand in that presence. So when you've entered through the golden door and you've gone beyond consciousness and into life, gone beyond consciousness as we know it and into life, then you should lift up your eyes to the Great Spirit itself and then stand in that presence. Thus will the angel, and this is such an important statement, thus will the angel who is the shadow of the Blessed One reveal the open door. It's the open door which allows entry into life. Into life. But is the solar angel the shadow of the Blessed One? Not really. The solar angel is not the shadow of the Blessed One. The shadow, solar angel is its own Blessed One, as it were, has its own monad, even though all monads are one, is a much greater being. But the angel of the presence is the middle structure, the kind of angelic nature of man himself, who has been created by the descent of the monad and the assistance of the solar angel. So, you know, sometimes we hear that the ego is the reflection of the monad, and sometimes the word shadow is used, but there's no question that the angel of the presence, angel of the presence, is related directly to the monad and is an extension of the monad, enclosed in a structure which is pervaded by a fragment or energy stream from the solar angel. So the whole egoic structure, which is filled with the solar angelic power of I-ness, or reflexive consciousness, is the angel to man. And it has to be pierced. And that angel, too, the angel, or the ego, when we get into that state of consciousness, which is angelic for us, because it is substanded by the solar angel and yet is our own energy vehicle, will reveal the way into the central jewel. See, in a way, the open door is the central jewel, the central fire. But that door does not open until the fourth degree. And only then do the Buddhic petals separate enough or open enough to really see the jewel and enter therein to the synthesis of the central fire. So the polarization of consciousness within our own solar angel, within our own egoic lotus, substanded by the, within our angel of the presence, substanded by the solar angel, will allow the consciousness, which is really monadic anyway, to re-enter the central fire of the jewel. And then that angel will disappear. The egoic lotus will disappear, and the solar angel will disappear, returning to its at least temporary origin within the heart of the sun, or perhaps within the central spiritual sun. Sometimes, you know, there are higher structures reflecting lower, so there's a kind of heart of the sun which is the egoic nature of the solar logos, but it is reflected, I believe, in a kind of heart, etheric heart center of the solar logos on the second or monadic plane. And then there's the central spiritual sun, which is the, it's the monad of the solar logos, but it's reflected on the cosmic etheric plane logoically, with what we can call the solar logoic etheric head center on the logoic plane. I believe there is that connection. So the monad is unrevealed because of its shadow. And okay, the shadow of the monad prevents the revelation of the monad until that shadow is pierced. The shadow really is a disk of golden light. So the angel, see, the Blessed One really, and this is the important thing, usually we think of the Blessed One as the returning monadic emanation. But here we see that the higher Blessed One is referenced, and it is the monad itself. So, the monad on its own plane is also the Blessed One, from which the pilgrim, the Blessed One as the pilgrim, goes forth. Thus will the angel, who is the shadow of the monad, shadow of the Blessed One, reveal the open door, which is the jewel in the lotus. We can say the synthesis petals will part, will unfold, and the open door of the jewel in the lotus will be revealed. Now, that angel too must disappear. This happens at the fourth initiation. At the fourth initiation. But, in other words, the egoic lotus disappears, and the solar angel is no more present, but has returned to its origin. But what about the Blessed One? Well, the Blessed One is still there, remains. And this, of course, is another one of those proofs. Proof that the Blessed One is coming from the monad and really is the monad in incarnation or the monad in extension, and will reunite with that part, with that part of the monad whose shadow is the angel of the presence. So the Blessed One does pass into the jewel in the lotus, into the great light of the jewel, into the light sublime, into the light of the monad. So the monad in extension passes into the jewel in the lotus, which is that which sent it forth secondarily. In other words, from the higher jewel, which is the monad, into the jewel in the lotus, and from the jewel in the lotus, really the identity goes forth into the lower world. So first the re-entry through the door, which is the jewel in the lotus, and then a re-centralization in Atma Buddhi, and then maybe the destruction of the, well, the atmic causal body, we can call it that, and then reabsorption of the monad in extension into the monad on its own plane, the monadic plane, for practical purposes. So I hope that gives an idea. Brilliant. There are so many clues here, because now we do understand that the angel of the presence, being the shadow of the Blessed One, it can't be the shadow of the returning Blessed One, it's the shadow of the Blessed One on its own plane. And so we call the Blessed One on its own plane the monad, and we call the monad in extension the Blessed One. They are both the Blessed One. The monad is one. And it has that amazing capacity to be all in all where it is on the plane of monadic awareness, and yet somehow extend itself simultaneously. Having pervaded the entire universe with a fragment of myself, I remain extending itself. The remaining monad extends itself as a monad in extension into the deeper spheres of matter, deeper and denser spheres of matter. So I learned a lot from this particular stanza about what the solar angel may well be, and what the Blessed One is, and how it survives the destruction of the causal body and the return of the angel. So it must be other than either one of those if it survives them and then goes into the light sublime, still more sublime. Of course, the light sublime is shining through the jewel in the lotus, which is the reason for Vulcan's involvement in these high initiations. Vulcan rules all jewels and as well the blinding light. So if we look at this, the involutionary phase and the evolutionary phase, we see the outgoing and the return, and we get the whole vision of the monadic pilgrimage. Every one of these stanzas, tells us the story of the monadic pilgrimage. Involutionary and evolutionary. The pure influence of the monad, of course, really only occurs at the third degree, and when that part of itself which has been put forth has returned to a sufficiently high level to re-experience its source. At the third degree, the returning monad re-experiences its source and is inspired to seek that source. So, okay, let's read it. Ray 5, stanza. The Blessed One came forth in ignorance. He wandered in a darkness deep of spirit. He saw no reason for this way of life. He sought among the many threads that weave the outer garment of the Lord, and found the many ways there be leading to the center of the web eternal. The forms that weave that web hide the divine reality. He lost himself. Fear entered in. He asked himself, another pattern must be woven, another garment formed. What shall I do? Shew me another way to weave. The word for him came forth in triple form. His mind responded to the vision clear evoked. The truth lies hidden in the unknown way. The angel of the presence guards that way. The mind reveals the angel and the door. Stand in that presence. Lift up thine eyes. Enter through that golden door. Thus will the angel, who is the shadow of the Blessed One, reveal the open door. That angel, too, must disappear. The Blessed One remains and passes through that door into the light sublime. Involution, evolution, the jewel in the lotus, the central fire being that through which the monad in extension can descend. Forms blocking the way, although there are many ways leading to the center of the web eternal, they cannot be found because form blocks them and we cannot disentangle form. Then comes the losing of the self, losing the direction and trapped in form, not able to find a way to the center. And there must be ways of creating vehicles and structures which will help find the way to the center. Allow me to weave with my thought in another way that will truly reveal rather than contribute to the concealment of the central fire. And then a word comes forth from the high authority, animating the different aspects of his mind. And he sees mentally that there is a way beyond the causal vehicle, the egoic lotus. It is unknown. And the golden disc is guarding that way. And the mind reveals that there is, in fact, an angel of the presence on the higher mental plane and a central door through that disc of golden light. And he is enjoined to stand within the presence and lift up his eyes. He can do this if he enters through the golden door. And the soul consciousness itself will reveal the golden door. In a way, it's the three synthesizing petals are petals of gold, petals of this translucent yellow, as we're told, and as they part, the golden door reveals the open door. And the open door is into the central fire, which is really the extension of that great jewel, the monad, and the extension of the greater Blessed One, who is the monad, on its own plane. And the angel, too, both angels of the presence and of the solar angel, will disappear, and the extension of the monad will remain, and will, passing through the jewel and the lotus, center itself into the greater light of the triad, and eventually into the greatest light of the monad. Well, some amazing things are said, and the thing that we have to learn to do is take what is said in one stanza as a hint for interpreting the other stanzas. There's so much said in this fifth stanza which tells us about who the Blessed One really is and how he does remain after the destruction. We might think, goodness, the Blessed One is just the soul in incarnation, just. But really, it is the emanative extension which has come from the highest of the Blessed Ones on the monadic plane through the central fire of the jewel of the lotus and down by whatever means into incarnation in the lower worlds. So that's what the lower Blessed One, and they're really only one of them, higher and lower, they're just one, but that's what the Blessed One is. Okay, friends, that'll be enough for the moment, and we'll go on to the sixth ray. So this will be the end of the Blessed One webinar commentaries number 7. Page, this time we're making progress, page 38 of Esoteric Psychology 2. And beginning of Blessed One webinar commentaries number 8, page 38 of Esoteric Psychology, volume 2. Okay, we will move on. We have the sixth and seventh rays to go. The sixth ray monad, the seventh ray monad, working through the jewels in the lotus and working through whatever ray we have here, sponsored by the ray of the monastic permanent atom, which essentially is the same as the soul ray.